This is the LA Local Morning Update, keeping you caught up with the latest from KNX News. Check back this afternoon for the LA Local's full daily briefing on what you need to know in SoCal.
The break-in where it was in Sherman Oaks the other day, neighbors are saying that street has been hit really hard lately. DirecTV and Disney in a fight could lead to a blackout just in time for football. But first, PCH and the efforts to get everybody to slow down.
There's a court hearing today over the guy accused of killing four Pepperdine students on PCH in Malibu. And there's a meeting to talk about how it's going, trying to make PCH safer through that area. Let's get more live right now from our John Baird.
Well, if you're sitting along the side of PCH here in Malibu, it almost feels like you're sitting on the side of the freeway. I mean, traffic is just flying by. But the CHP and the Sheriff's Department together have written nearly 5,000 tickets just in the first 6 months of this year, mostly for speeding. And they say the number of injury crashes has dropped 36% compared to last year. Now, one man who lives here not far from that horrible crash scene says he has noticed a difference, and yet he says people are still driving too fast through here. He calls it the Wild West.
I live right on PCH. My car has been hit, parked, four times in the last 2 years. So it remains a very treacherous street, despite some incremental efforts on behalf of the police.
He says he cannot wait for the automated speed cameras to be installed. But in the meantime, Caltrans is making some improvements to PCH, some restriping and replacing damaged or missing signs, including speed limit signs and curve warnings, some reflective devices in the median strip, and those radar speed signs that show how fast you're going. But long term, they're also working on some engineering improvements to PCH as well.
John, thanks. People who live on Greenleaf and Sherman Oaks say their street has been targeted by burglars at least four or five times. Last couple of weeks, woman told Channel 7 her home was broken into yesterday afternoon for the second time in 3 months. Lives a block away from the house that was targeted on Monday night. That's where the nanny was assaulted. Woman says it didn't take much this time because there wasn't a lot left from when they were robbed back in May. Meantime, suspects in the burglary Monday arrested. Three men booked for robbery, home invasion. LAPD says all three were already on supervised release for priors. Investigators have recovered property believed to have been stolen from that home on Monday. They're looking into a separate burglary, too, in Sherman Oaks Monday night near the Fashion Square Mall.
Woman who was shopping in a Ralph's on Vermont in South L.A. says a guy grabbed her butt in the spice aisle. She told Fox 11 that she's coming forward because she thinks that there might be more victims. He took off. This happened Sunday. She told Ralph's worker. Security said the guy was still in the store, so she waited out front to confront him, and she said all she remembers is punching him in the eye. Woman said he got into a car with another guy and left before cops got there, and she said there was another victim, older woman who was crying at the scene, said he hit her on the chest. LAPD said to be investigating.
There's new documentary footage of House Speaker Pelosi responding to the attack on the Capitol, January 6, obtained by CBS. It was turned over by Congress, or to Congress, by HBO. Here's Scott McFarlane.
Nancy Pelosi is heard talking about the prompt impeachment of Donald Trump and saying he must pay a price for January 6th. And at one point in the video, she's heard calling him a domestic enemy in the White House and encouraging the invocation of the 25th Amendment to remove him. She's also heard blasting some of the Capitol security officials who'd be out of their jobs hours after the January 6th attack. But all of this puts in context what the House January 6th Select Committee found 2 years ago, that it was Trump who waited 3 hours before urging his supporters who were attacking police to leave that day.
Video shows Pelosi also in the back of an SUV working on that statement she'd later make at the press conference.
Donald Trump and J.D. Vance back on the campaign trail later today. First rally since a new round of indictments for the former president by the special counsel Jack Smith.
J.D. Vance picks up his battleground barnstorming. The Republican vice presidential nominee, a key messenger of former President Donald Trump's policy pitch to voters, will talk energy and the economy this time at campaign events today in Wisconsin and Pennsylvania. Vance also pulling double duty, packing his schedule this week with private fundraisers across the country. Meanwhile, Trump returns to the trail Thursday, making stops in Michigan and Wisconsin and headlining a rally in Pennsylvania on Friday. Torian Small, CBS News, Washington.
Vice President and Governor Tim Walz going on their campaign bus tour of Georgia.
The vice president will try to capitalize on momentum and energize crowds following the Democratic National Convention last week. This will be her first official campaign stop since accepting the nomination last week at the DNC in Chicago. And I think the campaign is trying to just continue that momentum and capitalize voters in a very critical swing state ahead of the election.
Rally tomorrow night in Savannah. 20 minutes of nonstop news presented by theloanexchange.com for all your home loan needs.
So, yeah, Kamala Harris and Donald Trump have raised hundreds of millions of dollars for their campaigns. The Harris campaign says it brought in $540 million since she entered the race last month, while the Trump campaign reported $327 million in cash on hand at the start of the month. We talked about it this morning, about the impact, with University of Florida political science professor Suzanne Robbins.
You live in this world. You study this kind of stuff. So is it unsurprising? I mean, cycle after cycle, it's up. Or do you see these kind of numbers and also, you know, the Trump campaign haul and go, wow, this is an incredible amount of cash?
Well, first, good morning, Mike. Good morning, L.A. Yes, it is an incredible amount of cash. The numbers have been going up over the years and they continue to go up. This election is very different than most presidential elections, so I expect the money to continue to go up. We've already spent, raised over $1 billion in outside money as well. So it's just a tremendous amount of money.
Where does it all go? I mean, we understand ad buys are expensive, but at this level, I feel bad for people in swing states who will not be able to turn on anything without being like surrounded.
Well, you're right. Most of the money is going to go to the seven toss-up states, from Arizona to Georgia. And you might see some money go into leaning and likely states. It'll force the campaigns to spend where they don't want to spend.
Does money win elections? Do we show that direct link? Or as with everything, is it more complicated than that?
Of course, it's more complicated than that. But money's important, but it doesn't guarantee a win. What it does show, and in this in particular, this $540 million shows a tremendous amount of enthusiasm and excitement on one side. And that will translate into more votes, because we do know that money shows interest and interest leads to higher turnout. Won't change a lot of minds, but it will lead to higher turnout in many ways.
Can we read anything into who's donating? I mean, Harris campaigners are big on saying, look at all these younger voters. Look, it's 2/3 women.
I think we can, but in ways that are more interesting. If you think about the smaller donors or anybody who donates at all to a campaign, it's like making an investment. And once you've made an investment, you don't want to lose on that investment. So now you're more committed. You're more likely to vote. You're more likely to volunteer. You're more likely to talk to friends and family to convince them to vote. So you've become a surrogate in many ways.
Somebody said to me the other day, you know, I wish they'd stop touting all these small donors, the $5 here, the $10 there. We should dispense with that illusion, because really it's the megas, it's the PACs. They have the pull. I mean, if you look at the top five, it's like a rail boss, a hedge fund guy, a couple who controls a shipping company. And then, of course, you know, Mike Bloomberg's always in there.
Well, that money's usually going to the super PACs, because that's where you can make the big donations. And the super PACs are not controlled, although there is, let's blink, blink, coordination.
Not
supposed to be. They're controlled outside the candidate, so it can sometimes be difficult to control the message. Now, over the years, the super PACs have learned to coordinate, even though they're not supposed to coordinate, but coordinate in a way that's sort of, they don't want to step on the toes of the campaign, so they've gotten better about that. But yes, the big super PACs have the money to go in ways that a candidate campaign can't. That big money does matter. And they could go into a state like Florida, which is not up for grabs, and force a candidate to spend more. There are a couple of really interesting ballot initiatives here. So I can't see them going much into California, but I could see them in other places.
Okay. What do your students think about all this? Are they just like, this is how it is? Or is it kind of a bad taste in the mouth when they see all this cash and go, elections should not be this expensive?
I think what they feel is that it's so much money, it's not fathomable, right? It's hard to understand. It's beyond what most people will ever see in their bank accounts, right? Way beyond. They do think it's a lot. They do sometimes wonder if we should change the rules. That's hard.
That is University of Florida political science professor Suzanne Robbins. Warning going out this morning about the health impacts of being a parent. And most of us have worries about money, credit, and retirement. That's coming up. That and more as 20 minutes of nonstop news continues.
State senators in the governor's own party reportedly turning on him a little bit. CalMatters says three Democrats say they are frustrated by the Newsom administration's inflating of the estimated costs of legislation, suggest the bills are quietly killed so he is not held accountable. Democrat out of San Francisco, who authored a mental health proposal that was killed off recently, said at a public hearing last month The administration's cost estimate was extreme, outrageous. Spokesperson for Newsom's office saying in an email, it's outrageous and inaccurate for anyone to suggest the numbers are fabricated. Four health bills are controversial cost estimates dying in the Senate and Assembly committees after advancing without a single no vote from a Democratic legislator.
Nation's top doctor is warning that parenting, well, it can be hazardous to your health.
The U.S. Surgeon General just issued an advisory about the high levels of stress parents face, saying it's dangerous. According to the American Psychological Association, nearly half of parents report overwhelming stress most days, compared with 26% of other adults. And they say when stress is severe and it sticks around, it can have a harmful effect on your mental health, which in turn also affects the well-being of your kids. Stacy Lynn, CBS News.
Well, let's talk about that money and stress. New study shows more than 3/4 of Americans worried about money. Here's Emily Valdez.
In the words of Biggie Smalls, more money, more problems. But a lot of Americans would disagree. Maybe it should be more credit, more problems.
When the economy reopened, and particularly when inflation took off, that's when we really started to see those balances escalate.
Greg McBride is Bankrate's chief financial analyst.
For a lot of households, it's not necessarily the discretionary purchases that are driving up those balances as much as it's just trying to keep up with day-to-day necessities.
The biggest regret with Gen X, didn't start saving enough for retirement, not enough money in case of an emergency.
You can save for retirement through payroll deduction, set up a direct deposit from your paycheck into a dedicated savings account to pad that emergency savings.
You know, it's never too late. I'm Emily Valdez, KNX News, 97.1 FM.
Fall football season is about to kick off, and there is another potential dispute between ESPN and DirecTV. Carrier's contract to carry Disney-owned channels is up this Sunday, and the two companies are negotiating. ESPN broadcasts USC versus LSU, 7:30 Sunday night. Monday Night Football starts September 9th with the Jets versus the Niners. Other channels that could go dark on DirecTV, Disney Channel, Disney Junior, FX, and more. The CEO of DirecTV told Deadline the talks have unavoidably been colored by the recent federal court ruling blocking Disney, Fox, and Warner Brothers Discovery from launching their planned venue sports streaming bundle on antitrust grounds. They say it leaves a bad taste in their mouth. A dispute between Disney and Charter, the parent company of Spectrum, led to nearly a two-week blackout about this time last year.
Trying to save lives, a local hospital offering free drug test kits and another life-saving drug. Here's Bob Brill.
At Pomona Valley Hospital Medical Center, right outside the emergency room, you can get free naloxone, which can immediately save a life, and a free test kit to check whether your legal or illegal drugs have fentanyl. Sherry Cisneros is one of the nurses involved in this program.
You get a piece of the substance, and you test it kind of like a pregnancy test, and you mix it with water and put a test strip in, and it will immediately tell you if that substance has fentanyl. So it's a great prevention tool and just an awareness. At least you'll have a choice and an option of, you know, to make a decision about what you want to use.
The naloxone is also in the box outside the building, and anyone can get that free just by taking it. While there were over 100,000 overdose deaths in the U.S. last year, those deaths remain steady for the most part. Part of that is awareness and programs like this. I'm Bob Brill, KNX News, 97.1 FM.
New elementary school being built in Uvalde, Texas, got a big donation. New school will replace the one where 19 students and two teachers were killed in May of 2022. We get more from reporter Zach Briggs.
A very, very generous gift of $10 million from the Kate Marmion Charitable Foundation.
And our main goal also is to do everything we can to help honor both the victims and survivors of the tragedy at Robb Elementary.
The grounds of Uvalde's newest elementary school look a lot different compared to 5 months ago. Construction now quite apparent as the $51 million project born out of tragedy becomes a reality brick by brick.
It is expected to open for the next school year. It's been about a week or so since a major real estate change took effect across the country. We talked about this. Impacts how the commission is divided between the agents for the buyer and the seller. Andrew Gant is a professor of finance at the University of Utah, and she tells us a little bit more about how things are going.
The problem before, and we may not completely avert this problem going forward, but the problem before was because it was almost automatic in the listing agreement, buyers were effectively paying a 3% commission in the home purchase price. And it was really obscure. They couldn't really see what they were paying. And they didn't really have a choice on it because that was set before they walked into the home. The only thing that's really changed is that listing agents can no longer put on the multiple listing service what they will pay a buyer's agent. However, they can still text a buyer's agent. They can still advertise on the brokerage website what they would pay a buyer's agent. And so there still is the possibility for collusion. So we have to kind of see how this all shakes out. And that depends on kind of how much consumers pay attention to what's going on, how much in the state, in the case of California, the California Attorney General looks at enforcing sort of non-collusive behavior among the realtors. And then the third hopeful enforcer is the Department of Justice, which has not dropped all potential litigation. And so if they feel like the settlement didn't go far enough, the Department of Justice could take additional action to encourage competition in the brokerage industry.
She says the change can benefit those selling a home.
I do think consumers need to be pretty proactive about it, and they need to not just agree to the standard form. They need to just, if somebody just lists 6% on your listing agreement, you should ask questions if you're selling a home. You should be like, really? I didn't say I was going to pay for the buyer's agent's commission. Can we talk about this? So I do think it, whatever develops as the new social norm, that a lot of that depends on how consumers react. And so I what I would say to consumers is, you know, it is a benefit if you're proactive about it. And I don't want to suggest that some people won't choose on the buyer's side to still hire a full service agent. They may want the standard agent, and that's totally fine. That's a great choice for some people. But consumers, the hope is they're going to start thinking like, if I'm buying a $1 million house, are my buyer broker services really worth $30,000? That's what I hope people start saying. Or is it like, well, could I do with a little less?
Professor Gent suggests instead of having a buyer's agent, people can hire a real estate attorney to help them with the paperwork involved in buying the home, because in the end, that would be cheaper, she says.